Okay, we're starting here at the top of Pei Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing from yesterday. The Gemara defined or qualified the Mishnah and said that the case of the Mishnah, when we are certain that the children belong to the mother, is b'kruchin acharel, when they are attached to her, when they hold on to her, they treat her like a mother, and they're very attached to her. So the Gemara, we had a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, exactly how far do we take this chazakah that when children are attached to their mother and holding on to their mother, that they really classified as the children of that mother. So according to Rashi, Rish Lakish says that that's only good for kochi gvul, meaning for if he's a kohen to eat truma or any kochim that have to do with the gvul. Of the yuchsin, when it comes to marrying off the daughter of such a marriage or such a person, we would not say that they are automatically miyuchas the kuhuna just because their mother was miyuchas the kuhuna. That's Rashi's explanation. Then Rabbi Yochanan comes along and argues and says, even for yichus, even to marry off to the kuhuna, it's sufficient. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says that the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan has to do with everybody agrees that the kochei gvul by kochim means anything to do with being a kohen, that he can go act and be fully like a kohen. That we have no questions about. He can eat kochim. That's not just truma. Even kochim in the mikdash. Anything that has to do with siyas kapayim. Anything else like a kohen, he'll act like a full-fledged kohen. Yuchsin is, can we put him to death? Meaning that, can we assume that this is a mother and a son? So far so. This chazak is so strong that if they have some illicit relation between them, relationship between them, then we would put them to death based on this chazakah. So Rabbi Reish Lakish says no, and Rabbi Yochanan says yes. And now the Gemara continues, Vazir Rabbi Yochanan Tamei. Rabbi Yochanan is going into his own position. Now, according to Rashi, it means, we're going to see in a second, Dam Rechir Rav and Rabbi Yochanan Malkin al Chazakot. You can get Malkus for Chazakah. Suklim Visorfim al Chazakot. You can be put to death because of a Chazakah. Vein Sorfim Truma al Chazakot. But you cannot burn Truma based on a Chazakah. Now the Gemara is going to go through each one of these. Malkin al Chazakot. What does it mean that you can get Malkus for a Chazakah? The Amar Rav Yehuda Chuzkaka Nida Bishchenutea Bala Lokale Mishum Nida. If it's obvious it was their chazakah from the women or the neighborhood that this woman was in nida, then her husband, it gets malchus if he slept with his wife, even though we can't prove she was in nida at that point, but since she has a chazakah with her neighbors because of either the clothing that she's wearing or where she's staying at this point in time, again, in the time of the Gemara, it was more obvious, or in the times that they kept tum and tahara, it was more obvious, because today nida is a very private affair because it only relates to between husband and wife. But when in the past, when tum and tahara were major issues, then when a woman was in nida, she was also tameah, and she affected everything that she touched and everything that she wore. So therefore, she would wear special clothing, she would maybe live in a special place and only eat certain foods. So it was maybe clear to the neighbors that she was in nida. If it was clear to the neighbors that she was in nida based on this chazakah, then the husband would get malchus based on that chazakah. Soklin v'shorfin ala chazakot k'derabba baravuna. That we give skila and sreifa based on a chazaka like Rav Ravuna. Dam Rav Bar Ravuna ish v'isha tinok v'tinoket. If a man, a woman, and a girl and a boy, shigdilu b'toch habayit, that live together, grew up together like a family, niskalim zelzev and nisrafim zelzev, they'll get skila or sreifa, depending on which illicit relationship over here, under the assumption that they are all related, meaning that there's a father, a son, a brother, a sister. All of these will be assumed to be the case because they grew up and acted like a family, and therefore they will get the Mises Bezdin based on that chazakah. And number of Shimon Paz, Yamra Bishuman Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Masabish Shabbat Yushalim Tinok Mukarval Ktela Ktefa. A woman came to Yerushalayim and she had a baby on her shoulders, Vigdilato. And she brought him up, like as if he was her child. Uba Leha. In the end, they ended up having illicit relations. Vivim the Beitim Sakvum. They brought him to Bezin and gave them skill. Lopinev Shibina Vadai. It's not because we're certain that this is her child, but we knew that when she came to Yerushalayim, when this baby or this boy was a young man, that he used to hang on to his mother and treat and act towards his mother like a child would act towards their mother, and therefore we kill them based on that chazakah, not because of the certainty involved. So therefore, according to Tosfos, this proof that Rabbi Yochanan is letameh is because we see Rabbi Yochanan in other places says based on the chazakah, we give skila and sreifa for families that grow up as a family unit or act like a family unit, that's enough. So too over here in our mission, we say that's sufficient to develop or to establish this connection between them, that they are considered to be family members, and they'll be killed in Mises Basin if they have an illicit relations, illicit relations or illicit relationship. Whereas according to Rashi, it's really a kal v'chomer here. The Rabbi Yochanan says over here for yuchsin that it's good enough, meaning that they can marry their daughter off to a kohen. This woman can marry off her daughter to a kohen. Not worry about yuchus, because since we see it, we're so certain that this girl is the daughter of the woman that we would kill based on this. On a family structure, we would put them to death. So Koshkin, certainly, in the case where we're talking about Yichus, then it would be enough that Kuchin Achareha. All right, so now the Gemara is going to discuss the last principle that was mentioned over here, that ain't surfing Truma la Chazakot, that we don't burn Truma based on a Chazaka. Now, the din of Truma is that Truma Tahora has to be eaten by the Kohen. Truma Tmeah, Truma that becomes Tmeah, has to be Nisraf, has to be burnt. So now, we have a case here. We have a machlokas here. Ain't surfing truma al-chazakot. Amrei Shimon Lachis, surfing al-chazakot. Shimon Lachis says you can be soref truma based on a chazaka. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, ain't surfing. You aren't able to be soref based on that. The azdu litamayu, and they go according to the reason. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Tinok shenimtza betzad ha'isa ubatzek biyado. That a young a baby or young toddler is found next to a pile of dough, and in his hands he has some dough or some piece of that dough. Rabbi Meir mitaher. So then the Chamim say that it considered that the Isa, that dough that's sitting next to the baby, to be Tameh. Rameir says we consider it to be Taher, a Tahor. Now the reason of the Chamim is because it's the nature of a Tinoch, of a baby, litapeach, to play around or to touch. So Rashi says litapeach means that it's the nature of the toddler to play around in garbage heaps and in areas where there are shvatzim and nevelot that are found, and therefore it's almost berov that a toddler will be tamei, because he generally comes into contact with things that are tameim, because he's always playing around, touching things, and getting involved, or getting into areas where there are tamei things, like a sheretz and a nevelot. And that's what it means, that rov tinokot mitapchim, that they're rov tinokot, come engaged, or come into contact with tuma. On the other hand, Tosa says, no, the rov tinokot mitapchim here is that the Tinok, we think here is Vadei Tameh. He's definitely Tameh. The question we have here is whether he touched the dough or not. So we say, since most toddlers touch things and feel things and take things, then we can assume that the dough got to his hands was because he took it off the other bit larger piece, and that's why he has some in his hands. We don't say that maybe somebody Tahor came along and handed it to him. But we say that because the nature of a toddler is to go out and explore and touch, that we assume here that he touched the dough. Either way, according to Rashi, according to Tosos, there is a rove that is functioning here. And how does this work? Vavinim, my time with Rabbi Meir. What's the position of Rabbi Meir? Why does Rabbi Meir say it's Tahir? Kasava rove tinokot mitapchim, umyut in mitapchim. That's because Rabbi Meir believes it's true. That rove tinokot do come engaged with the tuma. According to Rashi or Tosos, they would touch the dough that's near them. Umyut in mitapchim, but there's a minority that would not. V'isa b'chazkat tara umeret. On the other hand, we have a piece of dough that when we left, last saw it, it was all tahor. So you have a chazokah of a dough that is tahor. On the other hand, you have a rove that the tinok is tamei. V'samoch mi'uto the chazokah. Then we'll take the mi'ut, the minority of children, either that don't become tamei according to Rashi, or the mi'ut of children according to Tosfos that don't touch and feel everything around them. And then we'll put that together with the chazokah and itrele rupa. And that will diminish the rove and be able to overcome the rove. And therefore, in this case, we will say that the rove disappears because we have a chazaka and a miut. Chazaka and miut together will wipe out the rove, and therefore it's tahor. So the dough remains tahor, according to Rabbi Meir. Tosus points over here that why don't we say that you have a chazaka and a miut, negative rove, and that makes it paga-paga, 50-50, which we find in other places in Shas. That when you have a miut together with the chazak against the rove, we say then it becomes like a 50-50 shot. How come here over the Gemara says that the ruba just falls away when we put the miut next to the chazak, and it's as if the rove doesn't exist? So Tosa says here, that's because the rove over here is a ruba, is a rove garua, he calls it. It's not such a great rove. And therefore, if you have a miut and chazak against this weakened rove, we say not only is it not a 50-50 shot, but it's as if the rove falls away. And Tosfos proves this, I'll point it out later from the Gemara that's coming up. On the other hand, Rabbanon, how do the Rabbanon explain their position? Miuta kimandaleta. When we have a rove and a miut, right, then it's as if the miut doesn't exist. And this is a machlokus between the Rabbanon and Rebbe Meir throughout Shas. The Rebbe Meir is choshesh the miut. He always worries about the miut. When there's a rove and a miut, he still looks at the miut and says that the miut's there plus whatever else is around, and we see if we can do something with it. Chacham is saying, when you have a robe and a miut, it's as if the miut doesn't exist at all, and the robe overcomes, becomes kikulo, that it's everything. So therefore, the rabbana miuta commanded let the dami, right, the robe is as if it doesn't exist. Now, ruba v'chazaka, if you're talking about a robe versus a chazaka, ruba adif, then the robe is adif, meaning that the fact that rove, either children are get engaged with Tuma, or that rove children will touch the dough that's next to them according to Tosfos, right, then Ruba Adif, that robe is Adif, and therefore the dough here is considered to be Tameh. On this, Amar Rabbi Shlachish, Mishim Rav Oshia, Zuhi Shesorfin Aleha Truma. This case here is a case where we'd be Sorif Truma, meaning that the Chazakah, this Chazakah, that children in general either become engaged with Tuma according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos, that rove them would touch the dough out of curiosity. Because of that, we would be sorry if the truma on that chazaka. Rabbi Yochanan ain't zu chazaka shesorfin alei truma. This is not a chazaka that we would sorry for the truma. So here we see Rabbi Yochanan's position that based on a chazaka, we would not be sorry if truma, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan says yes. Ella ezu chazaka Rabbi Yochanan shesorfin alei truma. So how? What type of chazaka would we need for Rabbi Yochanan to be sorry if truma? I mean, we see before that he thinks that a chazaka is enough to have malchus, and we have enough chazakas enough to soka misorfin al chazakot, and right. Why is it by truma when we say the chazaka is not strong enough? So where is there a chazaka that's strong enough to burn the truma? Kidznan. So we have a case. Isa betoch habayit vishratzim vitzvardim mitaplim sham. We have a dough in the in a household there, and we have a number of creepy crawlies flying around there. Some of them are shratzim, which are the eight shratzim, which the Torah enumerates, which are tamei, and some of them are tzvardim, they're frogs. Frogs are, you know, types of creepy quality things jumping around, but they are not tamei. They're not one of the eight shvatzim. So let's say, for instance, you have tzav, as Rashi calls it, like a turtle, domelet tzvardea, that's similar to a frog. I'm not exactly sure how similar they are, but similar enough that they're all running around the house here. Metaplim sham v'nimtzu chatichot bisa, and we see that there are prints inside the dough. So now, we know somebody touched the dough, we just don't know who. Imro shvatzim tamei'a. If the majority of the shvatzim that are found in the house are those of the eight shvatzim that are tamei, then the dough is tameah. Im rov tzvardim, if the rov is tzvardim, things, animals that are not automatically tamei, and therefore the tzvardeya touched the dough, then it wouldn't be a problem, then tahorah, then it is tahor. So now we see that Rabbi Yochanan, based on this chazaka over here, based on that rov, the rov that there are shvatzim tameim, then we would be willing to be served the truma. So what's the difference between this robe over here that we're willing to be served the truma and the robe before where we said that babies, either the robe is that babies normally get engaged in garbage heaps and touch tuma, according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, the robe that they would play or be curious and touch the dough. So that, Rashi says over here, the distinction is because one of them is a ruba d'ita kaman. Over here, with the case of the Tzvardim and the Shvatzim, we can see, we know what's in front of us. We can see the robe that's right in front of us. We know that it's robe Shvatzim, because we see there are more Shvatzim than Tzvardim in front of us. Since that robe is something to eat to come on, we can see it physically, and we know it for certain that that is the robe. Therefore, that's strong enough, a chazakah, to burn the truma based on it. Aval hayi the tinok is ruba deleta come on who. The case by the tinok, even though we establish a robe based on what we think the characteristics or the nature of a baby is, that robe is not something to come on. We can't for certain say that. We can't look and say this is the robe situation in front of us because we don't know. We don't know where the baby's been and we don't know what the baby has touched, right? We can only surmise based on that robe. So Rashi says based on a robe where we're just surmising or thinking based on general assumptions, that robe is not enough according to Rabbi Yochanan to burn the truma. Whereas a robe where we can look at it and see it in front of us, once we have that established a robe and we can clearly identify what the robe is, on that chazaka we would burn truma. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Kavete de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brace that supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rove tzvardi, shnei tvarim, ein behem dat lishael, vasum chmin kame ma sheyesh ba dat lishael. There are two things that don't have ability to be asked about what transpired, and nevertheless, chmin made as if they were can be asked. And what does this have to do? It has to do with Tuma. In general, we have a principle based on, this all mostly learned out from Sota, that Tuma, Bershut Rabbim, if you have a suffix Tuma, you have a doubt about Tuma in Rishut Rabbim, Sveiko Tahor. If you have suffix Tuma, Bershut Yachid, if you have a suffix about Tuma in private domains, then we say Sveiko Tamei. Now, even within that, we have an additional qualification that, just like by Sota, it involves people who you can ask. That's so too here, but when we have a Sovek Tuma Bershus HaYochid, it has to be someone that you can ask. If you can speak to them or ask them about what transpired, even though they may not know, but that has to be one of the qualifications in order to be a Sovek Bershus HaYochid Tamei. So over here, we have a case with the baby, and it's clear that the baby can't be asked what transpired. So here we have a Sovek Bershus HaYochid, it should be Tahor. So we say over here that the Chachamim said no. Nevertheless, that Shnei Devarim Ein Bam LaDayat Lishael, even though they don't have the ability to ask, and really the Suffolk should be Tahor. Nevertheless, Asum Chachamim Sheish BaDayat Lishael. Right? We made it as if we made it strong enough to strengthen their position to say that it's as if we could ask them, and therefore this Suffolk would be Tameh. Tosfos proves from this Gemara right here that the rove we had before is Garua. Why is that? Because if it was a real rove, then you wouldn't have this question about Dat Elishel, Ain Dat Elishel, because rove is Kekulo, and then it would be like a strong rove, and we wouldn't need this Dat Elishel. The fact that the Chachamim had to come along and strengthen the position of the Tinok to be as if it was someone we could ask shows you that we need something in addition to the rove to make the case Tameh here. If that is true, then it must be that this rove is a weaker type of rove that the Chachamim had to strengthen. Now, what are these cases? The two cases, one is Tinok, Vodacheret, Tinok HaDamra, and the baby case we just mentioned above. Vodacheret, what's the other case? Mahi, Isa Betocha Bayit, V'Tanagolim, Mashkim Tameim Sham. You have dough in the house, and you have these chickens running around, and there's also Mashkim Tameim Sham. There's water or liquids that are Tameh, and V'Nimtzu Nikurim B'Isa. And we see that there are beak marks, pecks, into the Isa. Right, so what happened here? The assumption, or what we don't know, is did the chickens go ahead and then drink some of this tamay water, then come over to the dough and then peck or put their beaks into the dough or eat some dough and put some of the tamay water onto the isa, or maybe not. So now we have a safek. What is the Mishnah says over here? Tolin. In this case, it's tolin. Tolin is a case where so we're not certain about the tumah, so we don't burn it. We don't burn the truma because we're uncertain as whether it really is tamay. Then we don't eat it because it could be tamay, and then it would be usur to eat. So then we're tolin. We leave it either until it rots or until it becomes tamay for certain, and then we will burn it. But what do you see from this? You see from this brisa that the brisa gives two cases. The cases of tinok above, and then a second case about the tarnagolim, about the chickens. And in the case of the chickens, that brisa paskins, that tolin, that we don't burn the truma. We only told that we leave it in a state of safek. So if that's the case, the psak over here, and the brisa compares that to the case of tinok, what's the psak by tinok? It would also be a psak alacha, that is tolin. So if we say the psak alacha by tinok is to be tolin, then that's like Rabbi Yochanan's position before. He says, but the case of tinok, we're not surfing truma. We don't burn the truma then, and we have to wait and see. It's a suffik tuma, whereas Reish Lakish said you were surfing truma. So we see here a brisa that supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan. That when we talk about this case with the birds, with the chickens, and they're moving the water, possibly move the water onto the dough, that's only when it was white or clear liquids. Of Mashkim Adumim, if they're red or different colored liquids, im ita denakir mida yodia. Right? It made the idea. We would have known. I mean, had the bird transferred some of the water from the pot that has the tamay water into the deisa, we would see the discoloration. We'd see the color of the water on the dough, and we'd know for sure that the bird had touched the dough. So Mar says, Vidimo Valentino Isa. Who says that? Maybe it was the liquids were absorbed into the dough. So there's no raya. Maybe the reason you don't see color now is because it was absorbed inside. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dover says, Shama Baribi. This din, Rabbi Shuben Levi heard. Rabbi means the Gadol, he heard. Vuperusho lo Shama. But he heard the din, but he didn't know the right explanation for it. Lo Shana v'mashkim tzlulim. It's not a differentiation between white or clear water and colored water, but it's rather between clear, meaning that crystal clear water, shibiboa shel tinok nikarba, that you could see your reflection in, aval mashkim akurim lo. But if there is water that is discolored, or liquids that are discolored or have sediment in it, then you don't have to worry about it. What's the difference? When you have absolutely clear water, it doesn't matter what color the water is. The water can be absorbed into the dough, and it may not be visible that the bird touched it, so therefore you have a safek. But in the case where you have water that's is not clear, is mixed up, has dirt mixed up in it, has sediment in it, then if the bird took from that water and then placed it on the dough, then it's clear the liquids could be absorbed into the dough, but the sediment, or that which was in the water, will not be absorbed into the dough, and then it would be obvious that the bird touched it. So if we don't see any of that lichluch, any of that dirt or sediment on the dough, then we know for certain it didn't touch it. And that'll be the distinction, meaning that only when the water is clear do we have to worry that it got absorbed and we don't see it, no matter what the color is. But if it's a kareem, water that is mixed sediment and dirt mixed up in it, then we know we can check for certain whether the bird touched the dough or not. We'll have to look for the sediment on the dough. Okay, now we'll begin with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Lo yitiyached adam im shtei nashim. A man may not be secluded with two women. Aval isha achat mityachedet im shnei anashim. On the other hand, a woman can be alone with two men. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af isha achat mityached im shnei anashim. Right? Even one man can be mityached with two women. So now, Rabbi Shimon, the next line in the Mishnah, it's unclear if this is part of Rabbi Shimon's statement or if this is a different statement. So the way our Mishnah reads, it seems to indicate that Rabbi Shimon says that one man can be alone with two women when his wife is along with them. And when his wife is along with them in the hotel, his wife watches over them, and therefore the person can be miached with these two women. The problem with that, and which is what Tosfos raises over here, the problem with that is that there are Gemaras in other places, like Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara quotes it stam and does not say, and says over there, number one, that when a man has his wife along with him, then he's protected in terms of yichud. There it doesn't say, oh, that's only the Shitas Rabbi Shimon, not the Rabbana. It seems to be saying lekuliyam. That's number one. Number two is that a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, again, seems to indicate that when his wife's with him, that he doesn't need an additional two women there. He can be with one woman. I mean, it could be his wife and another woman, and that would be sufficient in order to protect him from a problem of yichud. Based on what our Mishnah reads, right, it's a continuation of the statement of Rabbi Shimon, it says, Rabbi Shimon says one man, two women, plus his wife. That means there are actually three women there, his wife plus the additional two women, which we say is, not again, not true in Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Tosfos amends other Rishonim amend the Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon's statement ends after Af Ish Echad Mityached Im Shtei Nashim, period. Then there's a statement which is the Kuliyama, that separate statement that when his wife is with him, there's no longer a problem of Yichud. Doesn't matter Rabbi Shimon, doesn't matter Rabbanan, doesn't matter one woman, doesn't matter two women. All of that is fine. I mean, there is no Yichud when his wife is along with him. The Gro over here says that the problem with the way Tosfos is switching the Girsa is that it doesn't read so well into the Gemara, the Mishnah anymore. First of all, it doesn't read smoothly in the Mishnah. Number two is that the Mishnah continues, Bizman Shishto Imo V'yashan Imahem. Imahem, right, the Gro points out, is referring back to the Shtei Nashim. It's referencing, right, the Imahem is referencing the Shtei Nashim. So that would sound like it's his wife and two women. So, based on that, the Gro says that, no, the whole statement is Rabbi Shimon's statement, and he does say that the Imahem is lav dafko, but he's just, the reason that he says Yashan Imahem, Rabbi Shimon, is because that's what the Tanakhama spoke about. He spoke about two women, so Rabbi Shimon continued with two women, but truthfully, that even with one woman, it would be fine for him to be alone with his wife. As long as his wife was there, it would be alone. And he says, there's no nafkamina halacha because we'll paskan like Rabbi Shimon, because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah supports it. And actually, we'll see the next Mishnah, there's a Mishnah further on, which might also support it based on Tosfos' position about a person who works with women. Either way, once his wife is with him, he's protected from Yichud. Mityached Adam imimo v'imbito, a person can be alone with his mother or his daughter. V'yashan imahem b'kiruv basar, and he's allowed to sleep with them when they're not clothed. Vimigdulo, once they get older, zeu yishana biksuta, zeu yashen biksuto. Then they have to be dressed. I mean, they can sleep together, they can be together in the same bed, they just have to be dressed. When they're younger, then they can even sleep when they are not dressed. Now, over here, Rashi makes a comment. He says, higdilu zeu yashen biksuto. And Rashi makes a comment, v'chena bat imavia ba'ota ktana. So too, a daughter, when she is a ktana. Now, what is Rashi modifying over here? Because it depends. Based on the Divrei HaMatzil over here, that a person would only be allowed to, based on this Rashi, that only allowed to be in bed with his daughter. I mean, even if they were clothed, both a katana, when she's still a katana. But once she becomes a gedola, then even clothed, it would be impermissible. Or, as Rashi is saying, v'chein batim via both a katana, means goes back to the original statement of the Mishnah. I mean, it has the wrong Divrei HaMatzil here, but really goes to them, v'shanim mehem b'kiruv basar. And it's referencing that, and he's saying, based on that, when the daughter is still ktana, the father can sleep with her at Bikir of Basar. And when they get older, they have to be clothed. So it's unclear, but from Rashi, it seems like that with a daughter, once she's a gdola, that even with clothing on, right, they would not be able to sleep together. So now, my time, what's the differentiation of the Tanakhama, right, that a person can't, an Adam, a man cannot be alone with two women, but yet, right, a woman can be alone with two men. So Tani Be'elo, Ho'il v'nashim datan kolot alehen. The Gemara answers up that nashim datan kolot. What does Rashi say? What does it mean, nashim datan kolot? Shteim nochot lehit patot. Meaning that the women, right, can be both convinced, either both convinced to join in and participate in the Aveira, and therefore, right, since they can both be convinced, having two women there does not help out your situation. Rashi over here explains that they both two can be convinced to join in terms of participating in the Aveira. goes along with Rashi, which is later on in the next Mishnah. We're going to see that Rashi believes that this problem of Yichud only exists with two women. But once you get above two women, once you get to multiple women, then there's already a deterrent or a deterring factor, which is that there are just too many women. Once there are too many women there, you can't say that they're nochot lehit patot, that they're easily convinced or they're easily seduced, because the just sheer number of women will make it impossible. So Rashi makes that distinction. Other Rishonim don't necessarily follow, and we'll see that when we get to the following Mishnah. But Rashi makes that distinction that when it is two women, then it's a problem. But once you have more than two women, the Yichud or the issue of Yichud falls away. So now the Gemara says, "Minahani mili." How do we know that there's a problem of Yichud? Ami Yochan Mishar Beisol Rem is the Yichud min haTorah minayin. Where is there a hint in the Torah that there is a problem of Yichud? Shenemar Kisitcha Chicha Ben Imecha. So it says, talking about a case here in Devarim, which is talking about a person who's trying to convince another individual to worship Avodah Zarah. So it says, when your brother, who is your brother through your mother, comes to try to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah, why does the Torah specifically point out that it is your brother through your mother and not your brother through the father? Why? Meaning that be only brothers through the mothers try to convince their brothers to worship Avodah Zarah, but not brothers through the father. Elolomalacha comes to teach you ben mitchachedim imo, that a son can be alone with his mother, meaning that that's where these children are usually found. When it talks about why is it achicha miimecha, because the children of a mother are usually found by their mother. And that we know then for a ben, or it's a remez that a ben can meet yachedim imo, basuli techedim kolori roach batarah. Right? That, but otherwise, any other of the arayot, you would not be allowed to be alone with in the Torah. So the fact that the Torah went out of its way to permit it by a mother and son tells you that by others, or other cases, it would not be permitted. So Gemara says, all right, that's a remez. Pasha the krav amayk tif. Right now you're trying to bring a hint to that, but what is the pashup shot in the pasuk? Why are we talking about a brother through the mother? So Rabbi, lo mi bai kamar. Lo mi bai ben av the son ilay. Right, I don't have to tell you about a brother through the father that hates him, right, when they share a common father and different mothers, that they might, these half-brothers might not like each other, and he'll give him bad advice. Why? Because they're going to share in the Yerusha. They're going to end up splitting the Yerusha of their father. So they're splitting the Yerusha of the father. This brother might want to get rid of his other brother, so he tries to convince him to worship Avodah Zarah. But even a brother through a mother, where there he has no incentive to get rid of you or to cause problems because you are going to inherit from different fathers. So therefore, you're not sharing the inheritance. Nevertheless, aim it tightly. Maybe you should listen to him. Kamash Malon, that's what the Torah comes to teach you. Even in an instance where a person doesn't have an ulterior motive, you still should not listen to him when he comes to try to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah. So now Gemara says, Neva Masisim to Lok Abishol. Let's say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Abishol. D'tanya, Koshloshim Yom Yotzei Bechek V'Nikvar B'Isha Chatu Shnei Anashim. That up to 30 days, if a baby that is born, Chas V'Shalom, passes away, then you don't have to give them the full trappings of a funeral and v'mita. You could just carry the baby out in the arms of the mother and then bury the baby. So if it's within 30 days, then Yotzei Bechek, he can be taken out by the mother, V'Nikvar B'Isha Chatu Shnei Anashim, one woman and two men. But not one man and two women. You're allowed to do this. So what? If you say that one man and two women is permissible, our Mishnah clearly says that it is not permissible. So Abishol can't be the author of our Mishnah. Where it says, Afilu tema Abishol. No, maybe Abishol could be the author of Mishnah. Bishataninu tavir yitzrei. No, the case here is a case where you have a death on hand, meaning that since there's a death, again, it uses yitzrei, which is the male conjugation. It sounds like the mother is carrying the baby out, but let's say the possibility that it's the father carrying the baby out. But either way, because they have the sorrow and the aninut that comes to them because of what's transpired, their yetzer is not tokef. It's not strong on them, and therefore we don't worry about the yichud over here. So that's why Abishol permits one man and two women to go out, right? Even though generally he would not permit it, like we see in our Mishnah, because he could be the author of Mishnah. But in this case, he permits it because of Tavar Yitzrei. Rabbanan Savri, like Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbanan hold like Rabbi Yitzchok that even the time of Aninut, we don't say that the Yetzer is overcome. Damar Yitzchok, my itonein adam chai, gever al chata'av. How do we explain that pasuk? Afilu b'shat Aninut. Right? Even the time that a person has the feeling of Aninut, shel adam, gitzro mitgaber alav. Right? That when a person's alive, gever al chata'av, then he has to overcome his chata'im, he has to overcome his Yetzer. Mean that as long as you're still alive, you have to overcome your Yetzer. I mean that Aninut is not sufficient to break the Yetzer. So let me say that even in a state of Aninut, right, that will not protect one, and there will still be a problem of Yichud. On the other hand, Abishol believes, right, that the Yetzer, or the Tukav of the Yetzer, protects the person, and therefore they won't come to sin. Babashol ki k'tiv ha'u b'mitra'im al midotav k'tiv. The pasuk that Chachamim brought from Yitzchak is not, Rav Yitzchak is not coming to tell you about even a state of aninut that you still should worry about your yitzchak, but rather for the mitra'im al midotav. Hachi kama, this is what it means. Mitra'im al midotav. A person should not question the midot of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, shouldn't question the ways of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. V'chi gavar al chata'av. Right, did he really overcome all his sins? I mean, a person should not question about the longevity of his life. Shouldn't have any questions with the Kodesh Baruch Hu about the longevity of his life. Because, right, when he comes to complain to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as if he came in as he had no sins in his whole life. Right, did he overcome all his sins that he doesn't deserve to die? Whatever life Hashem gave him is a gemilas chesed. Whatever Hashem gave him was a gemilas chesed, and he should be happy with what he got. Rabbanon, the Rabbanon say, ki hai masa da'i yitzita da'v uvda v'afikte. But I say I can prove it to you, or I can show you this, because we have like a case where this happened. What's the case? What's the problem? That many, even Rashi brings down two interpretations. Rabbanan could agree to Abashol and say that in the case of Aninut, that there is no Yetzer. But that's not what we're worried about. We're not worried about where there really is Aninut and there is no Yetzer. The problem is that people could fake it. And that's like the case. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. Havadavafikte. There was a case where there were people went out. It was one man and two women. They went out to bury a baby, and they pretended the baby was dead. The baby was really alive. They pretended to go out, and then they did a maisa aveira. So the problem is not the aninut. Maybe the aninut would protect. The problem is that we're going to have people who fake aninut, or people who are deceptive, and are going to try to act like it's an aninut, and then go out to do an aveira. So in order to protect against that, we say, no, in no case can a man go out with two women. The other possibilities, Rashi brings an additional possibility, is that from the Gemara Moed Katan talks about a case where a woman was upset about one of her children dying, and she was so upset that she kept continuing to question a Kadosh Baruch Hu's midot. She went on and on and on, and to the point that she lost all of her seven children plus herself. So we see that there's evidence, or this is proof, meaning that this case here is not based on the Rabbanan. You have to eliminate the word Rabbanan here, but really it's a continuation, right, of the Rabbi Shol's statement, that we see that when a person is mitraim on the midot, too much on the midot of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow for that. He says, no way, you can't do that, and the person dies or the person goes away because it's inappropriate to question so strongly the midot of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tosef brings from the Rach, a third case, which is an interesting story over here. She was crying over the grave of her husband who had just passed away. Right, and there was another individual standing away from the grave who was actually be commanded by the king or charged by the king to watch over a body that was hung on a tree. He went over to the woman and he convinced her, he seduced her and asked her, you know, let's be together. And she gave in. When they came back afterwards and he saw that the person was hung on the tree, it was gone. He was very scared now that he was charged with watching this body and it's gone. So Amro Aisha, so the woman stands up and says, Al Tira, don't worry, kach balim mikivro, batalo. Go take bim kamot, go take my husband out of his grave and we'll hang him up there. Vafikte the bala batalo. Then they took out the husband and they hung him up on the tree. So that we see, this is according to the Rach, is that this is a proof, the Rabbanon, that even in a time where there is the Yetzer, where there is a Ninut, we see that the Yetzer, right, does come up, or the Yetzer overcomes the person, and a Ninut is not a protection. So again, three different ways to learn this conclusion of the Gemara. Either it's a proof, Rashi brings the case that it's a proof to Abba Shaul, because it's a case where a woman complained too much about the Midas of Kadosh Baruch Hu and end up losing her children and her own life. Right, the other possibility, it's the Rabbanan saying the first Gersin Rashi, is that it's the Rabbanan saying, maybe you're right, Abishol, that Aninus can protect you, but even the fact that Aninus can protect doesn't mean that we're not going to have people who are deceptive trying to use that as an excuse to go out, and therefore we're going to say it's usur in all cases. And the last possibility we saw in the Rach was that even in the time of Aninut, meaning that even in the time when there's Aninut, that's not enough to protect the person, because we saw he brings an example of a case in Uvda where we see that a woman, even though she was Aninut, still her Yetzer overcame her, and she was willing to have her husband's body hung up on a tree to protect the person that she had this relationship with. Now, we have to reconcile this with the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says there, by the Avelus of Mashiach ben Yosef, the Gemara of Mashiach ben Yosef, that they have to be separate. Men and women have to be separate over there. So I think you could differentiate, again, between the cases in the Gemara in Sukkah and the case over here. One, the Gemara in Sukkah is talking about a case where it's a case maybe of Avelus, not necessarily Aninut. That's one possibility to distinguish. The other possibility here is, we're talking about Aninut here, is where the person themselves has suffered the loss. It's a personal loss. And that's what gets over the Yetzer. In the case of the Gemara in Sukkah, it's talking about the people as a whole. They lost their leader. So it is a loss to the community as a whole, but it's not as personal, deeply personal, as losing a close relative, a child, and so on and so forth. And therefore, maybe we can't say over there that the aninus overcomes the yetzer, as opposed to over here. Okay, well, stop over here.